Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contests with huge cash prizes up for grabs. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night, and it's simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users all across sports. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there is no better place to get in on all the action. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using promo code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's promo code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
And welcome to the Ice Guys, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a sports betting perspective. With pro handicappers Alex B. Smith and Ian Cameron, and veteran sports writer Jimmy Murphy. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network, a special edition of the Ice Guys. We are here to break down and recap the expansion draft for the Seattle Kraken, which took place on Wednesday, July the 21st, last night for the Seattle Kraken. Very, very fascinating to see how the events unfold, but we will break it down for you here. Good to be back after a couple weeks away where we've finished off the daily seasonal shows. Back alongside me, as always, my colleagues, my Ice Guys line mates, Alex B. Smith and Jimmy Murphy. Guys, let's get it right into it in terms of the expansion draft. I'm not even going to get into the rosters yet. We'll get into that in just a second, the Seattle Kraken roster and who they actually took in the draft. We'll break down what we think of the roster position by position, forwards, defense, goaltending. First, we're going to talk about the day that was of yesterday's expansion draft. And how the NHL just badly botched it. Simple as that. From the very beginning, it became clear very early on Wednesday morning that the secret was out. You know, early in the day, that everybody was pretty much going to be aware of who the Seattle Kraken were going to take from each team and which unprotected player they were going to draft from each NHL roster. Early in the day, you're seeing tweets from specifically more than anybody else, Frank Saravalli, who did a great job, by the way, getting all of that info, but also, you know, Pierre LeBrun, Aaron Draeger, you know, the usual suspects, the insiders that were just basically telling you early in the morning yesterday, everybody that was going to get drafted essentially by the Seattle Kraken. And what it did is it completely shit on essentially the expansion draft live presentation that the league put together that they aired on ESPN2 in the US and on Sportsnet in Canada, because they were hoping that, hey, people are going to find out on the actual show, the expansion draft broadcast, who the Seattle Kraken were taking. And clearly the secret was out early in the day. And look, Jimmy said it on Twitter, and I'll echo that. You know, can't blame the insiders. You can't blame the reporters for this. This is the NHL. You know, if you are that concerned about the secret getting out and everybody figuring out who the Seattle Kraken have drafted before the actual broadcast and the expansion draft presentation takes place, it's up to you to make sure you tell everybody no leaks. Everybody be quiet. Don't tell anybody what you're doing and keep it under, you know, close to the vest right until the time of the expansion draft show, which was 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Simple as that. You know, if you have an issue with the leaks, it's not the reporter's fault. They're getting paid good money to report on these things and find out the info and do their digging and do their due diligence. And they did that. And Frank's great. Frank's become one of the big-time kahunas, in my opinion, in terms of NHL reporting. He's gotten better and better and more of a following, more of a spotlight, and his work with TSN recently was a big part of that. They're just doing their jobs, you know, and if you want to blame where did the leaks come from to crash the party, so to speak, of the big expansion draft broadcast, the league's got to do a better job of making sure this kind of information doesn't get out. You know, when people and homeowners have a literal leak, as in a leak in their roof, you know what I do? I don't say I blame it on the rain or the weather or the fact that we had a storm. No, I blame it on me. I didn't keep my roof in good shape. I didn't look after my house properly. You know, that's the issue. You know, you can't blame the rain. Can't blame that we got a bit bad storm or something. No, that's exactly it. That's the comparison I make here. You know, it's the league that has, just like I got to take care of my roof to avoid a literal leak, the NHL has to make sure they keep everybody quiet and keep these draft selections under wraps. And they didn't do a job of that. So that was already bad enough that basically the whole world knew by the time we hit the airwaves at 8 p.m. Eastern last night, who the Seattle Kraken were taking from pretty much every team. And we thought that was bad enough for the kind of day the NHL had yesterday. And then I put on my television because I said, I'm still going to watch this. The secret's out. I know who they're going to take from all these teams, but I'm going to see how they do this, how they present it. Maybe we'll get some hard-hitting analysis from a bunch of hockey on-air personalities to break down the positions and the rosters. And we got anything bad but that. We got an absolutely disastrous presentation of the expansion draft. There's nothing else to say. I mean, you can start from the very beginning where Gary Bettman doesn't even know the name of the home arena. He calls it Climate Change Arena right at the very beginning, which was just an awful gaffe by him. I'm overblowing it a little, but still, I mean, come on. Get the name of the arena right, Gary. Come on. Climate Pledge Arena. Not climate change, but that's when I was like, uh-oh, is this going to be one of those shows? And then they introduced the host and the master of ceremonies, Chris Fowler, who I like. Now, Chris Fowler is a good guy, and he does a very good job with college football, and he and Dominic Moore were like the MCs of the show. But it's almost like Chris Fowler was reading off cue cards, and all the hockey knowledge he had in his brain was based on things he was reading off a card, essentially. It didn't seem like he was one of those guys connected with hockey, and he was not really giving you a whole lot of, you know, quality material and lines. And it seemed like he was a little bit lost when it came to talking about certain teams and certain players. And Dominic Moore, I thought, did a good job with NBC. It was not one of his good nights. He's botching guys in terms of he thinks defensemen are forwards. He thinks forwards are defensemen. He's mispronouncing a bunch of names. He's stammering and stuttering. I mean, it's just, it was not very good from their aspect. And then you've got all these cornball segments they're doing. You know, they bring out Sean Kemp, who looks like he's, got a pot gut out to here with a terrible shirt that doesn't fit him. I mean, and barely could make out what he's saying. And just talking about, oh, the thing I love in hockey is fighting, which basically makes up a tenth of the sport these days compared to what it did 30 years ago. So that was bad. Gary Payton, you know, good luck trying to figure out what he was trying to say during his little spiel on the air. It was a mess, and you didn't get any analysis. You didn't get to say, oh, this is, I like this defense corps. Oh, I like what they did here with the forward group. You didn't get any of that. You just got this popcorn, fluffy little presentation, trying to entertain, trying to like, yeah, look how fun this is, how entertaining this is. And it was really disastrous. The one good thing I'll say about the presentation, and this was even a little bit corny too, with the Kevin Weeks tour around Seattle, I'll at least say that was kind of okay. You know, the fish market, going to the – I like that he was with the frontline medical workers and healthcare workers in the hospital, and they delivered one of the picks. That was kind of nice. He was with the arena builders of Climate Pledge Arena and with the people that are putting in the grunt work, building that arena from the ground up to be ready for next season, that he introduced one of the picks with them. I thought the Kevin Weeks Seattle Magical Mystery Tour, if you will, was not bad. But honestly, it wasn't great, but it was still, to me, the highlight of the presentation, which tells you how bad it was. So just an awful day, I think, for the league, that this was supposed to be this grand day for the Seattle Kraken to unveil their roster, the expansion draft, and the shit gets leaked early in the morning. Everybody knows who they're taking already. And then the presentation is just an unmitigated disaster at night on television on both sides of the border. So can't say it was a very good day for the NHL. Alex, we'll get your thoughts here because I know you've got some on the day that was for the NHL. And I don't know if the expansion draft activities could have been executed any more poorly than they were.
Yeah, it was an absolute disaster, as you mentioned. I mean, it started from the morning where we're finding out the roster basically before lunchtime. Every team leak had come out except for Detroit, and then theirs comes out about maybe two and a half hours later. And what the strangest thing was that, and I kind of realized this is going to happen when you look back at the NHL schedule where it says that, you know, the list had to be turned in by a certain day, where I remember going back, you know, watching online some of the old expansion drafts. They were actual drafts. Like, they took place like the draft we're going to see, you know, this weekend. And so the fact that they just, you know, had a list already done, and then now it makes sense because, okay, they're doing all these different segments and stuff. ESPN, they want everything to run as smoothly as possible from a television standpoint. So they want the names of everyone. They still found a way to mess all of this up. You had people, you know, like I said, mispronouncing names. You had Marshawn Lynch, you know, sitting around, basically just kind of gave up. Yeah. Of course, he's, you know, partaking in his usual activities outside of football and just, you know, butchering names. You had Sean, right? Sean Kemp and Gary Payton, who seemed like they probably, you know, may have watched a hockey game back when they were playing basketball. They knew some guys in the city that they were in or something like that. But, you know, Sean Kemp, they handed him a, you know, size large T-shirt. Dude's been 400 pounds for the last 20 years. It's just everything was just insane. The audio quality was poor, which that wasn't on ESPN. This was an NHL production that was done split. So you can't just chalk all of it up and say, oh, this is ESPN, you know, downgrading the NHL as usual. But at the same time, they didn't do much to boost, appeal that, hey, you know, we're bringing the NHL back. They talked about all these on-air personalities they're going to have. We didn't see any of them virtually throughout the night. They could have had some of those people come on and you know, like I said, give some analysis and different things. Instead, you have Chris Fowler, like I said, fantastic at college football, but, you know, he's just up there cracking a bunch of bad dad jokes and, like I said, reading from a prompter as if he doesn't know anything about hockey. It was just a really bad look. And if you're somebody watching this and you're like, hey, like, maybe I'll start watching NHL more because it's on ESPN, and you see this, this definitely couldn't have, you know, made you more excited for things coming up. So it was just a really bad look overall. And like I said, you know, even the segments they had with Kevin Weeks, and I get it, you know, the city of Seattle, obviously you want to promote your tourism, try to get people to go to games and travel there and so forth. I understand that. That's fine. But it's just – it was just a terrible 90 minutes of TV. If it wasn't for the fact that it was, you know, the middle of summer and there was nothing else on TV to watch, I would have been mad if I was wasting time watching this for 90 minutes.
Yeah, it was rough. And you mentioned the one thing I didn't, Alex, and good on you for doing it. The audio. Like, this is Mickey Mouse, like, production values there. The audio was cutting out all night. And you could, you know, you couldn't hear Dominic Moore or Fowler sometimes. The mics were cutting out consistently, especially the first 30 minutes. And then I think finally they figured it out and fixed it. Very, very disappointing because this is their first event on ESPN since they got the rights back for the NHL, the national rights, splitting it, of course, with Turner. And this is your first impression, guys. Hello. This is your chance to make your first mark, your first impression on the ESPN family again. And this is the way you go about it. Leaks of the entire roster during the day and then a piss poor production value laden mess of a presentation of the expansion draft at night. I mean, my goodness, disastrous. 100% right. I mean, just awful. And like I said, Chris Fowler, we like him. Alex likes him. I like him. He's great at college football. He's great at tennis. He's not even part of the NHL roster when the puck drops in October for ESPN. Where's Steve Levy? Where's John Buchagross? Why aren't these guys hosting? These guys that love hockey, that have worked in hockey for in the past, why are they not hosting that thing last night instead of Chris Fowler? And again, we like Fowler in college football, but clearly he was out of his element, you know, a little bit last night hosting the expansion draft in hockey. Because I don't know this for fact, but to me, it doesn't look like a guy that watches and is connected to hockey year round. Simple as that. Jimmy, what did you think of the expansion draft day yesterday?
Well, you know, my only explanation that I could give for the shit show that it was, you know, with ESPN and their broadcast, and you guys are dead on. I mean, I can't really say much more than what you did there. You nailed everything about it, from the production to the you know, the presentation, the not knowing names and all that. Yeah, I mean, it was just a complete shit show. And the only – you're saying, where are these hockey personalities that you have on the roster? Well, I think, as always, it must be something about money. Maybe their new contracts for those particular roles with ESPN don't kick in until, say, August or September. And, you know, ESPN said, well, we're not going to waste our money and throw any money into the contract we just signed with the NHL. Screw it. And this, to me, shows you that ESPN is once again going to treat the NHL like that their little stepchild that nobody likes in the family. And they're going to get the, you know, just horrible efforts in production and knowledge. And we're in for it, guys, because Kevin Weeks is one of the best in the business, guys. I agree with, I think you agree with me, right? What he had to do last night is clearly wasn't him choosing to do that. Like, he's just being told to do that. He didn't come up with this whole idea of going around and pulling a pick out of a fish, you know, or the other stuff he was doing. It's just, it was pathetic. I don't know. I really don't know what else to say than it was a complete shit show, and ESPN should be ashamed of themselves. And if I'm the NHL right now, I'm having my lawyers look into a way to get out of the contract and get back with NBC. For all you people out there who said you were tied to NBC, we need a change. Well, this is what you're getting. Hope you like it.
There you go. The one thing I'm going to, I hope it's better than this. It has to be better than this because it can't be worse. The only thing I'm going to give ESPN a break on is what Alex said earlier. This was an NHL run production. So they had the control over it. And I'm hoping that when ESPN has control of it come October with their broadcast, we're going to see something a little bit more fucking professional.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Look at the show we do every day. This show destroys what we saw last night. I'm not saying that because I'm on it and I'm friends with you guys, but I'm just saying, like, period. This is way better than anything that they put together last night. It's just pathetic. And good point. Yeah, it was the NHL, but still, I mean, I'm worried, guys. I don't see this out. You know, people are bitching, oh, good riddance to Pierre McGuire. We don't need to know all this information about hockey players. Well, you didn't get any information about anything last night. I mean, I'm sorry. Dominic Moore, I know he's been through hell. He lost his wife. God bless him, and he's a great guy. He's a good person. I covered him. He was a solid player. But he has no personality. That guy does not belong on any type of show analyzing picks or players or games. He just has no personality. So that's on ESPN. That's not the NHL. These are people that ESPN chose, and it scares me that there is going to be a complete lack of knowledge and a complete lack of personality, a complete lack of enthusiasm once things get going.
You know, and to be fair, too, I mean, we're not talking about some great concert on a barbecue that we were watching. It's the fucking expansion draft. This is not, like, the most exciting thing in the world to begin with. So, you know, like I said, they could have jazzed it up a little bit, and it would have made it more entertaining. But the fact that they just, you know, completely dropped the ball on everything that they thought would be cool, it just, you know, like I said, it just shows the lack of production value right now.
Yeah,
at least we made it through without any Grey's Anatomy things, right? I mean, that was good.
Yeah, exactly. They spared us that horror, thankfully, at the very least. So, again, the NHL, it was an NHL production. I still, like, at the end of the day, ESPN can still say to the NHL, even though the NHL is running it, hold on now, we got to send someone other than Fowler. Fowler's not a hockey guy. Like, isn't that where ESPN's got to step in and say, let's give you Levy? Let's give you Buchergross. Yep, exactly. Let's give you somebody else, McDonough, anybody. Like, they're all more into hockey and versed in hockey than freaking Chris Fowler is. But they didn't do that. They didn't step in. So, look, it was a bad, bad first impression. And it really – I had a pit in my stomach watching it because I know this is the first crack for ESPN to have an NHL event since they got the rights back. And, man, was it awful. Man, was it atrocious. And all I could think of is I sure as hell hope this isn't a sign of things to come. But again, we'll have to wait until October to find out what that is.
Other than that, what did you think of the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Yeah, exactly. So that's the whole – and it's not just the presentation. It was right from the very beginning of the day where the NHL allows all the leaks to happen. Completely ruins the enjoyment of finding out for the first time during the broadcast, which I think was their plan. And obviously that got completely circumvented with the picks being known and posted on Twitter by all the reporters, specifically Frank, early in the day. But now we'll get past that, and we will move on to actually looking at the roster that is the Seattle Kraken following the draft. And look, there's going to be people that are saying, where's your top six forwards? Where's your big-time forwards up front? And it's hard to find them right now with what they drafted and what they picked. But look, Ron Francis is playing this, I think, the smart, savvy way. We're not picking up big contracts. We're not picking up a Tarasenko when he's got a full no move clause and he's going to have to waive that. And do we know for sure he's going to do that to come here? You know, and that's the problem that Seattle runs into with some of these bigger names that they could have had. They could have had Niederreiter. They could have had Tarasenko. You know, they could have had some bigger names, especially in the forward group, but they opted to go in different directions. When I look at this roster, though, yeah, I think in terms of elite top six forwards, they are sorely lacking there as of right now. And keep in mind, guys, we were talking about this off the air. There's going to be side deals in the next 24 hours that you're going to hear. Like, Seattle's already made one with the Flames, sending Tyler Pitlick there, one of the guys they drafted in the expansion draft last night. And there's going to be more to come. Yeah, there's an absence of top six forward firepower for sure. But what I do like for Ron Francis, and I think people are overreacting, saying this team's going to be an AHL team. I'm seeing some of these reactions that they're going to be an AHL team. I would pump the brakes on going that far. What I do like what they did is they didn't take on big contracts, big cap hits. And you look at the forwards they took and all the defensemen they took. Do you know what the common thread with all of them is? They are two-way players, all of these guys pretty much. They are both ends of the ice committed. Blackwell from the Rangers, McCann from the Penguins, and then was he with the Leafs for barely 24 hours? I guess not. He never played a game for the Leafs, so you really can't say he was with them. But Jared McCann from the Penguins, Brandon Tanev as well, another one, a two-way player. Yarncroke, he can be pretty good away from the puck in terms of that element of his game. Donskoy is very good offensively, good pick from the Avalanche, but also decent away from the puck. Eberle's gotten better in terms of play away from the puck, and we know he's a good finisher up front as well. He's one of the better top six group forwards, that draft picks that they made, certainly was Eberle. So I like Mason Appleton, a great two-way forward from the Winnipeg Jets. So that's been what I think Ron Francis focused on. I want guys that are going to play good defensively. I want forwards that are going to play both ends of the ice, that are going to back check. And as far as the defensemen are concerned, guys, that's where they really did well, I think, in last night's draft. You got Mark Giordano from the Calgary Flames. Yeah, I know he's not Giordano of 5 years ago. He's older now. You worry, can he stay healthy? But he can still be a really good blue liner, top four blue liner when he's healthy. He's going to give you automatic leadership right away from all those years in Calgary. Good pick there. You look at Jamie Oleksiak, a good defenseman in his own zone. Again, another good defenseman in his own zone, physical element. Vince Dunn of the St. Louis Blues, same thing. Lozon from the Boston Bruins, someone Jimmy Murphy knows quite well. Another example of that, Carson Soucy from the Minnesota Wild, Adam Larson from the Oilers, who was their best shutdown defenseman last year. Ron Francis has made this a team that, hey, you're going to be in tough to score against us, because we've got guys all over the ice that are committed to team defense, whether it's the forwards, whether it's the blue line. So I like that element of the way Ron Francis put this roster together for the Seattle Kraken in last night's expansion draft. Goaltending, Chris Drieger was excellent last year. There's no denying that. The question is he ready for an 82-game regular season bona fide number one type of performance in net for the Kraken? But they're going to take the shot with Chris Drieger. Of course, all the wonder and questions were flying for the last couple of days. Would they or wouldn't they take Carey Price? And ultimately, they opted not to. I think it's pretty smart. Guy that's got major injury concerns. He's 35 years old. How much is he going to play next season? Huge cap hit as well. And Ron Francis ultimately said, don't want any part of that. But Drieger and Vanecek, you know, a capable, solid two goalies there. Vanecek was very good for Washington when Samsonov was out much of last season. And Joey Decord coming off a serious, serious injury, but lots of talent, lots of upside for him. They took him as their third goalie from the Ottawa Senators. So overall, look, I think people were harsh, you know, in grading this Seattle expansion draft roster. I'm not going to be as harsh. Yeah, they definitely have to work very, very heavily to get some top six offensive weapons on this roster. And I think with free agency next week, they will do that. But in terms of getting players that'll be tough to play against, that are be committed to defense, will this be a tough team to play against? I think when you look at it right now, they will be. They will be a very tough team to play against. You're going to have to work to beat the Seattle Kraken when you play them next season. And the Vancouver Canucks will find that out first, because it was announced that the first home game, I should say, for the Seattle Kraken will be the Vancouver Canucks in October. But I think they're going to be a very hardworking, competitive team. It's just going to be a question now of how much can Ron Francis work with getting a little bit more offense, getting more top six forward firepower between now and the regular season opener for the Kraken in October. Alex, what are your thoughts on the roster?
Yeah, you make a great point about how, you know, there's a lot of two-way players, a lot of solid, sturdy, defensive-minded players. I think the goaltending pickups were absolutely fantastic. He said, you know, you need a two-goalie tandem in this NHL nowadays, and they were able to get a really good one with Driedger and Vanacek. Like I said, Jordy Decord, a lot of great upside, you know, hoping that he's, you know, rehabbed and healthy and ready to be either the third goalie, or I'm sure he'll start wherever the AHL team will be for next season. So I think they did a great job there. But like you said, the lack of top six forwards, it means they have to try to, you know, do some heavy lifting now in free agency. Otherwise, if this is the team going into the regular season, they're in some serious trouble, especially Yanni Gourde, who seems to be the best scorer right now on this team. He's going to be in the IR. He's going to be out 4 months, rehabbing with a shoulder issue, they said. So you're already missing him. And he seemed like he was going to be kind of your leading scorer, you know, at least one of your top six guys that you could rely on. But now, like he said, it's just three lines of basically, you know, middle of the road guys who can play defense, back check, but there's no scoring right now. So you got to try to make an emphasis now on getting some scores quickly. Otherwise, like I said, especially when you're looking at this division, I get, you know, okay, if you look at how the playoffs landed last year, you know, teams were winning games 3-2. Defense was you know, the imperative issue in those last two rounds of the postseason. You're in the Western Conference, you're in the Pacific Division. You know, offense is what wins you games in that part of the conference. You have to be able to score night in, night out. You have to be able to get 3, 4, 5 goals on a given night. You can't rely, like I said, you don't have the shutdown goaltending of an Anaheim or Tampa Bay. So you're going to have to build your team to at least get 3 or 4 goals every night. This is not the lineup to do that right now, but they have time to make some changes and some moves. But so Cali Yarncroke, I think, is a great player who's going to fit in well. Curtis McDermott, defenseman, who I really like, big body, big size, guy who can, you know, throw hands as well. I think he'd be a good fit for that team, especially, like I said, you're going to be battling. You're going to be hitting a lot. You're going to be playing with San Jose, Anaheim. I'm really excited to see what happens with them in Vancouver, because for people who don't know, Seattle and Vancouver, two cities – like just the people of the cities, they do not like each other one bit. So I'm sure that animosity, if it translates onto the ice, we're going to see some really good matchups with those two teams. So I'm looking forward to see what they're going to do, but they're going to have to make some moves. They can't just sit around with the lineup that they were able to draft last night.
Yeah, another version of the border war, different sport, but that's what it's going to have that feel, Seattle versus Vancouver next year. I think Seattle will become Vancouver's biggest, most fiercest rival. I know it's been a lot of good rivalries with Calgary and Edmonton they have in that Western Canadian trio, but I think Seattle is going to be their number one rival moving forward, and definitely looking forward to that.
And one quick thing I want to mention too, for people, like I said, you mentioned about how that's the first home game. Circle the fact that they open the season in Vegas, and that's going to be on October 12th. They won't be home until October 23rd because Climate Pledge Arena, they're still working on it. In fact, all the preseason games are going to be taking place in Everett and Kent. I think Tacoma is the other city, because they're getting ready for the arena. So they won't be home for, you know, pretty much the entire – their camp is going to be – they're going to be bouncing around, and they're going to have their first few games at home. So you got a spot out of the gate where first home game off of a long road trip happens to be opening night. So, and obviously a lot of people are going to be looking to bet Seattle because, oh, you know, they're going to be amped up for the first home game ever. Might actually want to be looking at, you know, fading them in that spot potentially.
Yeah, it's definitely something of note based on the schedule. Good work there, Alex, looking into that and noticing that, because, again, scheduling, we're going to get back to some good old-fashioned scheduling dynamics this year with the NHL handicapping, because now things are back to normal. Everybody plays each other. At least once, 82-game season now. It'll be fun to get back to some of those tried-and-true scheduling dynamics from a betting perspective that seem to work most seasons in the NHL. So, Jimmy, let's get your thoughts here. The Seattle Kraken roster. Now, we know there's going to be changes. This is not going to be the way the roster looks on opening night in October. We know they're going to work to get more top-six forwards. And, like, right now, your best scorers on this team up front are probably – Jared McCann, Jordan Eberle, and Jonas Donskoy. You know, so that's what you're looking at. Blackwell had double-digit goals for the Rangers. I think he can be an improving offensive player, but still, it's going to take time. So they definitely need some top-six firepower, but I think that will come in time. Jimmy, what are your impressions and opinions on this initial Seattle Kraken roster?
Well, I think everything, I echo everything you guys said. I mean, obviously, Francis didn't want to pick up those huge salaries. And by the way, good luck to St. Louis getting anything for Tarasenko, because the word on the street, man, is nobody wants this player right now. I don't know what is going on or what they know about him. I mean, obviously, his health is a concern, but it just seems to be a little more than that. A lot of people are backing off on that, so that's something to watch. But with this team, you know, the thing I was going to – I credited on Twitter, and I was going to go right to, and you guys mentioned it, was the defense. And I love the grit and the physicality that this defense looks like they could have. And they're the type of defense that we've seen help teams win Stanley Cups over the last 3 years. But that being said, they got 11 defensemen. So by no means is this the defense we're going to see. You got to think at least 3 to 4 of those guys will be dealt away. And it's interesting, you know, I was reading right before we got on here, you know, Don Sweeney spoke to the media today, to the Boston media, and he was saying that, I'll get the quote for you right here. He's saying they're in communication already with Seattle. There's communication with Seattle, and they've got a supply there now talking about the defense, a ton of people, including ourselves, we want access to, and we'll have some discussions there too. So that's going to start. It already has started, and we're going to see a lot of movement this weekend, guys. I mean, I've been telling you guys for a while, but this could be the craziest offseason since the salary cap started, and it's already underway. So buckle up. It's going to be fun, and Seattle's going to be part of that. And by the way, too, I love the goalies. I think that, you know, obviously they've got Spencer Knight, but maybe in the immediate future, the Panthers are really going to regret letting Driedger walk. I mean, I'm sure they wanted to unload Bobrovsky somehow, but they couldn't do that. Maybe they still will. But, you know, that was a good – it was just a tough situation. There wasn't room for him there. And the Kraken are going to benefit off that. I think this kid's going to be a star.
Yeah, I mean, I like – look, I mean, he
and was – And Vanacek's good, too.
Yeah. Yeah, a rock solid and rock steady, Chris Driedger, last year. And look, he was with Bobrovsky and Knight. So there's always that you're worried if you're going to get the net every night or every most nights. And that was never going to be the case when you're dealing with Bobrovsky, the high-priced goalie, and Florida's goalie of the future, Spencer Knight. So this is now his opportunity to really show what he's capable of. And I think he'll thrive there. I saw enough of Driedger last year to think there's something here. He was very good, positionally sound, very quiet in the net. Everybody that analyzes goalies says that about the good ones. They're quiet in the net. They don't notice around a ton. They're just positionally sound, square to the shooter. He was like that a lot with a lot of the saves he made.
And Vanacek, guys, I mean, I remember that series, the Bruins and the Capitals that I covered there. And I kept wondering, why are they just not riding Vanacek? I thought he played better than Samsonov. And Samsonov, I thought, might have been hurt too. But, I mean, he's a good, solid future goalie for you too. He'll be a good backup. And DeCour is a pretty solid prospect, too. He's not close, I think, to being where he needs to be to be a number one. I have a feeling maybe he's a trade chip and he gets moved before the season starts. But he's a good goalie as well. So, I mean, you know, they're building from the net out, and that's the way to build a champion. And like we both said, or we all said, all three of us, they've got tons of cap space, and they can enter free agency, and they can go hit the trade market. So they'll fill out that roster with some good top six talent. And guys, for all those saying, you said somebody said they could be an AHL team. I remember a lot of people saying the same thing about the Vegas Golden Knights when they had their expansion draft. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and try and say that I saw them going in a Stanley Cup. I don't think anybody did. So, you know, people need to pay attention to history and go back and research that. McPhee built it pretty much the same way that Francis is doing it now. And then he added pieces after that. So you gotta have patience here. And I think this team's going to be very competitive, and good on you guys mentioning Vancouver there. I mean, the proximity for that rivalry to prosper is awesome. I mean, it's only like about a 2-hour ride up to Vancouver. I've done it before, as I told you guys, the day after the Bruins won the Stanley Cup. But I think it's going to be a cool rivalry. I can't wait to go cover a game out there.
No doubt. It's going to be a great rivalry. And I'll say this too. You're right about just all of a sudden saying this looks like an AHL team. Because, look, Vegas, well, when they drafted their players, Marchessault, Riley Smith, And these were guys that were not fully, you know, I think the players they are now, you know, they needed that Vegas experience, and they were collectively fueled by other teams saying, we were going to leave you unprotected, you know, and you can get taken by Vegas. And that's going to be the thing that you watch for here with Seattle, motivated forwards and blue liners that weren't protected by their former teams. And now here they are working their asses off to prove something to everybody. They're good NHL players. So that could take you a long way. Again, I don't expect Stanley Cup final again in the first year like Vegas, but they're clearly, by the way, and I want to bring this up, the betting markets seem to think there's some upside for Seattle, because I'm starting to notice this team is inching their way up the futures board for next season as we speak. They're up to, they're now 40-1 in most spots, the Seattle Kraken to win the Stanley Cup. Remember, they were 60-70-1. You know, just a month or two ago. So you are all of a sudden seeing some people betting this Seattle Kraken team from a future standpoint. And I think there's some of that resonating in the back of their minds that we saw Vegas get to the Stanley Cup final in their first season, that lightning and magic can strike again here for the Kraken. But it's very interesting to see just how much they've moved up the futures board and the odds board for the Stanley Cup next season.
Yeah, I think there's two reasons for that. One being, you're going to have people that, like you said, because of what they saw with Vegas happen the last time around, they're going to just take a shot and have a Seattle ticket. You're going to have Seattle fans that are just have a souvenir ticket. We saw that happen with Vegas. That, you know, get a ticket, literally frame it on the wall. But also the books are protecting themselves because, hey, they don't want to be in the same position they were with Vegas, where they had them as, you know, high as some places 300-1. You know, at some books and some places offshore at one point in time. So you're never going to see the books, you know, price a expansion team in any sport, for that matter, that high again because of what happened with Vegas. So I think both, you know, sides of the fence, the bettors and the books, are looking at it from that way of like, let's not have a repeat of Vegas. Let's protect ourselves accordingly and adjust accordingly. But, you know, at the same time, you look at the Superbook out in Vegas and Colorado, they posted a line for that first game against Vegas. Vegas minus 275 with a total of 5.5. So they're telling you, hey, you know, right now, obviously, like I said, that line's going to definitely change. I'd probably grab Seattle right now, honestly, at plus 245, because there's no way they're going to be that bad of a lineup come opening night. They're going to have to make some, you know, changes and improvements, like we talked about. They're going to be a better team, and that line's probably going to shake out to where Vegas will be, you know, minus 170, 180 once we get closer to opening night.
Yeah, definitely the protection of significant liability against, you know, a Seattle run that would rival what Vegas did. There's like, you're not going to get that steal of a price you got with Vegas. I mean, that's the one thing. They clearly adjusted the opening odds for Seattle to win the Stanley Cup compared to what you were able to get with Vegas prior to their first season. They don't want that disaster on their hands again. So that's definitely been a significant adjustment in the futures price for Seattle going into their first season to win the Stanley Cup compared to what it was for the Vegas Golden Knights. No question about that. Before we wrap up the show, a couple of news items, and a lot of them are Bruins related since we got Jimmy with us, our resident Bruins.
I think
reporter.
I know what you're talking. I just saw
Taylor Hall looks like he's just about to sign and return to the Boston Bruins. It looks like it's just going to be hammered out and finalized within the next, maybe even later today or tomorrow at the latest, is what we're looking at with that. I'll let Jimmy talk about that in a second. And another Bruins item, because, and this was announced a couple months, weeks ago, because we always gave this guy love on our show for, you know, being a better and a more impactful defenseman than I think a lot of people thought of him. And he just announced his retirement a couple weeks ago, Kevin Miller of the Boston Bruins. So we wanted a tip of the cap to him and all the best in retirement. And look, I know a lot of people took him for granted. The people on the Ice Guys show right here did not. He was always a very, very good stay-at-home, solid, sturdy, physical, tough defenseman for this team. Had a nice career with the Bruins, and certainly wish him well in retirement. And the other item being Taylor Hall. And Jimmy, I'll actually let you talk about your old friend Pierre Maguire, because we have not been on the show since he was named to the Ottawa Senators, you know, helping alongside Pierre Dorion and the management team there as senior VP of player development for the Ottawa Senators. I know you've got great faith and confidence in that, in Pierre, and deserving of that role. So talk about some of those things.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations to Pierre. I've spoken to him a couple times since it happened. He's over the moon. He's so psyched to be back in the game. I think he'll do great. I mean, a lot of people are saying, oh, how can a guy that's been in TV for 15 years jump back in to hockey management? Well, You know, as Pierre said to me, people forget I had access that no other GM had, sitting between those benches on ice level, seeing the game at ice level, hearing things, you know, networking with coaches and players and then GMs down in the dressing room nonstop. He probably has a better relationship with some players and GMs and scouts than Pierre Dorion does, because he was just around it more and more constantly. You know, a lot of Pierre's, you know, a GM's work is done on the phone. And especially in this day and age with what we went through with COVID, everything was, you know, through the phone or Zoom. And so there's Pierre with access that they never had and never will have. So I just think it's, you know, people need to step back before they start to jump the gun and criticize a move there, because I think it's a great hire. I don't like Melnyk too much, but I'll give him credit where it's due. I think this is a very smart hire. And then I also have to say, you know, I know they all poo-pooed it, but, you know, Pierre Dorion doesn't have a contract yet. So it's just interesting timing on that as well. So we'll see what happens in Ottawa. And like we've been saying here, guys, we've been pushing this team. Maybe now people are going to start to see. I think it's coming this summer with some moves they're about to make. And then the way they'll start the season off, the Ottawa Senators are coming and they're going to be here to stay. So beware of the Sens.
Yeah, an Ottawa Senators team that I think if there was one more month left in the regular season last year, they might have made the playoffs. They might have, because they were arguably the best record in the North Division that final month of the regular season. I mean, that's how well they were playing and competitively.
And did they beat the Canadians 6 of 8 times, I believe? 6 out of 8, I think.
Yeah.
So that's a Stanley Cup finalist team that they beat 6 out of 8 times. So, you know, this is a team that's on the rise. They're going to be interesting to watch. As for the, you know, Kevin Miller retiring, you know, I went back and forth with him a bit. It was just really sad. I got a little emotional thinking about it, just seeing what he went through and how hard he worked to stay in the game. And over the last 2 years, what he had to endure, breaking the same kneecap twice. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, that cheap shot from Orlov basically essentially ended his career, you know, and he gets that concussion. It's just tough luck for Kevin Miller. But, man, one of the hardest workers I've seen, a great teammate, and he's going to be missed by the Bruins, who now, and after losing Lauzon yesterday, tell me where the toughness is on the Bruins blue line right now. That team won't last 3 games in a 7-game series. They're in trouble, man. They got to make, and that's one of the things Sweeney addressed today, but they got to make some really good work on the trade market and free agency to toughen up that left side and just add some depth there, but we'll see what happens. And as for Taylor Hall, I mean, his agent literally just emailed me right as I'm speaking here. And he said, as I said yesterday, everything has moved in a positive direction. I hope to have news for you soon. So he's not confirming Drager's report, but I'm sure he confirmed it to Drager because Darren is Darren Drager. You know, but it looks like that's a lock. And I think that's a solid deal. I don't know if I would have gone at $6 million. I would have tried more for 5.5 as my max, but what's $500,000 to these guys and these teams? The Bruins have plenty of cap space. I think now their cap space will go down probably to about $18 million. So they still got plenty of space. You don't know what's going to happen with David Krejci, and it didn't sound promising today. And Tuukka Rask hasn't even had surgery yet. So that's money off the books right there. So the Bruins are in a good spot, but they better get cooking because the market, as big as it is right now, it will dry up fast.
It will. And we have some real legit concerning worries and questions for Boston going into next season. We haven't had that for many, many years, but we really, really have plenty of them going into this season.
It was funny, guys. I spoke to an agent yesterday who said that, you know, agents, GMs, they're all looking at Don Sweeney right now and saying, whatever possessed you to just go with that young defense last year? And now on top of it, one of the guys who you said you were investing in, you lost in the expansion draft. Just total mismanagement. And that's the way it's been. I mean, look, I think Don Sweeney has done a good job with trades. But draft, like the 2015 draft set that team back so far on the misses they had there with the, you know, what was it, the 12th, 13th, 14th pick. It was just pathetic. And they're in trouble. They're in trouble right now. You can't go into a season telling me that Jeremy Swayman and Dan Vladar are your guys and you can rotate between them and think you're going to compete for the cup. I'm sorry. Swayman's great. I think he's going to be a star. He's not there yet.
Seasoning. He needs a seasoning. Can we see him play a full season?
I would put him in the AHL. Yeah. That's what I would do. And Bruins fans will come at me and say I'm nuts, but I don't see why that would hurt. If you're basically throwing in a towel, it looks like you are, if you're not bringing back Rask, Krejci, and all these guys, and put them down there and just sign a vet, get like a mid-grade vet, you know, bring in Freddie Anderson if he comes down on his demands.
Yeah, absolutely. One last news item before we wrap, because it looks like it's going to happen. One of the most coveted free agents available from a forward perspective. Looks like he may be donning an Edmonton Oilers jersey next season. Zach Hyman. We know the Toronto Maple Leafs were never in a million years going to be able to keep him because they're in salary cap purgatory right now, salary cap hell. And unfortunately for them, because of that, so much money tied up in Matthews, Marner, Nylander and company, Tavares as well. They have to part ways with Zach Hyman, who was, you know, just an incredibly effective forward, great chemistry with Matthews and Marner on a top line role. And now he's probably going to fill that same role in Edmonton. It's looking like it's going to be 8 years in terms of the term. 7 or 8 is what we're looking at for Zach Hyman and a potential sign and trade between them and the Leafs. And for Ken Holland, who was getting raked over the coals a little bit for losing Adam Larson in the expansion draft, he's re-signed Mike Smith, who had a great season last year for the most part. Now he's going to bring in Zach Hyman. And I think of how good Hyman, guys, was with Matthews on his line. How good could he be with McDavid now going forward? The guy to do all the grunt work, be physical, be hard on the puck, get the puck, win those puck battles, and then find just, you know, McDavid's and dry, whoever he ends up playing with on that Oilers. You know he's going to be playing with great forwards around him. It's going to be a good fit. You know, you wonder about a guy, though, that's he's going to be 30 later this year or next year. It's going to be 8 years. I mean, it's going to be a long contract. He'll be well into his 30s when that contract's up. And he did have a major injury last year. And the style that he plays, it's rugged. It's tough. It's get your nose dirty. It's get in the corners and battle. And that leaves you prone to more injuries and more possibilities to get hurt. So that's the one drawback. Can you get great return for Zach Hyman? Stay on the ice. Remain productive. But if he can, man, the possibilities of him playing alongside Connor McDavid, it's just it's tantalizing thinking about it, I'm sure, for Ken Holland or any Edmonton Oilers fan. Now, Jimmy, what are your thoughts on Hyman looking like he's heading to Edmonton?
I think it's a great sign. I think it's an overpayment, but in their position, I think it's a necessary overpayment. He's the type of guy that they need. They need more grit. They need more hard work. They need more dependable players who aren't going to cheat in the defensive end. I think this is a good quality signing. Will bring a lot of character to that dressing room. So good on the Oilers.
Yeah, absolutely. Alex, I'm sure you echo much of the same sentiments, but it sure looks like a good fit.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, you know, this team needs to get tougher, and they need to have somebody who, you know, still keeping, like I said, with that hungry mentality, because the way that things ended for them last year, you know, you start wondering, even though they got guys sealed up long-term, you know, if they start losing and continue to, you know, drift off, you know, guys are going to want out of there. You know, we talked about it with Connor McDavid. You know, how long is he really going to want to stay in Edmonton if they can't find a way to get over that hump and be a true, you know, legitimate contender, get out of their own way and make it past the first round, make it into, you know, to a conference final at least. So I think this is a step in the right direction for them.
Absolutely. And I lied. We have one more note, and I almost ended the show without talking about it. And Alex and I were talking about it before the show started. Alex Nedeljkovic with the Detroit Red Wings. I never in a million years would have thought we would be seeing that today. Yet here we are, a guy that I thought had proven himself and was on the verge of becoming clearly the number one guy for the Carolina Hurricanes moving forward. What a great season it was last year for him. And I don't know, maybe they're higher on Mrazek and Reimer than him, which is ludicrous if they are, because Mrazek's older. He's had some injuries. This guy's young. He's just about to realize his prime. I don't think it's anything to do with they didn't think he was as good as Mrazek or Reimer. This is being cheap. This is having financial issues. This is not being able to pay him the $3.5 million average per year money that he was asking for. And all of a sudden, now Alex Nedeljkovic, a member of the Detroit Red Wings. And yeah, he's probably in Detroit because Carolina's got financial issues themselves. They're not thriving in terms of the financial health of the franchise, as Tom Dundon and that ownership group would lead you to believe. But nevertheless, maybe Yzerman, you know, just this fell into his lap. But nevertheless, you got to credit Steve Yzerman for going out there, getting Nedeljkovic, who is going to be his number one goalie of the future. They've got their guy now in net. And look out for the Detroit Red Wings. Steve Yzerman is building it slowly but surely. This team's going to be on the rise and going to be a factor again. Maybe not this year. I think there's still going to be some growing pains, but I think they'll be more competitive. I think they'll be kind of like Ottawa was last year. maybe not make the playoffs, but man, you're gonna have to work to beat Detroit going into next season. And now they've got a goalie they can hang their hat on for the foreseeable future, and their bona fide guy in net for many years to come now. And Alex Nedeljkovic, beyond floored, I am beyond stunned that we're talking about Alex Nedeljkovic today no longer being a member of the Carolina Hurricanes. And I think this hurts them big time going into next season. Alex, thoughts on a stunner, Alex Nedeljkovic in the Motor City?
Yeah, somebody should probably call the feds and alert them of what happened, because Steve Wyatt, he just robbed Carolina right now. Not only did he trade, he traded a third-round pick and the rights to Jonathan Bernier, who I think would be spending all summer learning Russian, because that's probably where he's going to be playing. You send him to Carolina, you get back Nedeljkovic, then you sign him for 2 years, $6 million. The whole thing's an absolute robbery. Like, the guy's worth way more than that, in my opinion. And the fact that you only signed to have him now for 2 years, which means if he does well these next 2 years, he's going to make a ton of cash in his next deal, wherever he is. And then the fact that Carolina, okay, if you're so invested in Reimer or Mrazek, well, sign one of them. Right now you have three UFAs on your roster. There's no one where, what are you going to throw? You can't throw any more money at Philip Grubauer. If you couldn't assign Nedeljkovic for $6 million, who makes you think Grubauer or Anderson or anybody else is going to come down there and play? You're going to have to pay them way more than that. So I have no idea what on earth Carolina is doing, but kudos to Steve Yzerman and kudos to Detroit for locking up a goalie who could really make them move forward in a hurry.
It's a head scratcher for Carolina, and it's great.
Breaking news here for the Canes. Yep. Breaking news. I'm seeing right now. The Canes had a deal in place for David Akers, and they said, no, we won't pay you $20. Sorry.
David Ayers, I think, is who you meant.
Ayers. You know what I was talking about.
Kicker. David Akers. Yeah, right. NFL kicker. Eagles way back when. Yeah. Yeah, David Ayers. I knew you meant
David Ayers.
The backup goalie. The emergency
goalie. It's ridiculous, guys.
It is.
This team, I mean, like, they could be a cup contender if they did things right and they weren't so cheap. I mean, that's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. And that's Stevie Y, guys. Why? Because he's Stevie Y. That's why. The best GM out there, I'm telling, in my eyes right now. Like, look at the Tampa Bay Lightning and tell me the Tampa Bay Lightning don't do what they did the last 2 years without Stevie Y. I mean, it's amazing
how good a
GM he's become.
He put the bricks down before the house was built.
Yep.
Exactly it. Now, Julian Brisebois has done great work too, but yes, the bricks and the foundation was Stevie Y's work. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. But Carolina, just an interesting franchise, man. It's like one of those teams. They just, every time you think they're finally not going to be, a shit show, they turn into one again.
Yeah, yep, that's a shame. I was really high on that team last year, even 2 years ago. I'm like, they got something going here. And now this is a setback. I'm sorry. This is an absolute setback for the Carolina Hurricanes. And now they're left scrambling. That's what they're doing now. They're scrambling at the most important position with an NHL team, goaltending. It's not exactly a place that you want to be.
I kept tweeting about how Edmonton might be a team worth looking at some overs this year. Carolina might be in that same boat now.
Potentially. They're going to score, and now they're going to give up some more probably as well. And I'm not even sure that blue line is going to be as rock steady and sturdy this year again like it was last year. So that's definitely a good point. And by the way, one last thing about Seattle too that I forgot to mention. From a total standpoint, under is my first thought with what they've got right now. Again, we'll have to wait and see in terms of game totals. They'll play some lower scoring hockey with the roster currently constructed. But again, we'll have to wait and see what they do in free agency and beyond. But my gut reaction right now with Seattle, what kind of style are they going to be? And Dave Hakstol, the head coach, defense first guy. That's always been his side of the puck. Going back to when he was Flyers head coach, when he was the Leaf assistant under Babcock and then Sheldon Keefe, guess what he was always looking after? The penalty kill. That's the part he focused on. So this is going to be probably an under team in terms of, lower scoring hockey early on in their existence, the Seattle Kraken. Again, they're going to improve their forward group and get some top six firepower in here. I'm sure they will. But I still think it's going to be a team that plays lower scoring games, especially on the onset. All right, guys, final thoughts. Alex, before we wrap it up, final thoughts from you.
Yeah, no, like you said, definitely, if you're looking at the betting pattern of what we could see from Seattle, it's going to be unders. It's going to be team total unders. They're going to try to grind out and win games 3-1, 3-2. He said, even if they do make some, adjustments and get some solid top six forwards, it doesn't seem like they're going to be able to compete with the same kind of firepower of the, you know, Colorados, the Chicagos, the, you know, even Vegas for the most part. I mean, you know, they can score goals usually during the regular season. They, you know, kind of tend to forget how to play offense in the playoffs. But that Western Conference, I mean, like I said, there's always teams, Edmonton, there's always teams that can score. And they're going to have to try to, either, like I said, be absolutely shut down defensively, or they're going to have to keep up with the Joneses and at least have some solid balance going both ways if in order to bet on them. Otherwise, like I said, the fact that people are going to be looking at this Seattle team and thinking of how Vegas did their first year, we might actually get some value betting against Seattle more often than not, mm-hmm. where it's not going to be, you know, we're not going to be getting, we'll be getting big dog prices in some spots to cash with them. But we won't be laying enormous prices on favorites against them, especially if they start to win early. Things are going to shift quickly, and then we'll be able to jump, you know, fading against them. So that's the kind of pattern I have mapped out for them right now. Like I said, unders for sure, but there's going to be more times that we're betting against the Kraken than on the Kraken.
All right, Jimmy, some final thoughts and last comments from you before we call this thing, wrap it up.
Yeah, I definitely like riding the under out of the gate there with the Seattle Kraken for sure. I mean, because as we already said, I mean, he's building from the net out. That seems to be the emphasis right now. And I have confidence that Francis will add some players as it goes on here. But, you know, in terms overall, just the team, looking at the team as well, I'm just, you know, it's interesting when I talk to scouts, I talk to people in the game, what their assessment is of how this team is being constructed. And they say, you know, we don't know if Ron Francis is really, he wants to win. Obviously, he wants to make a splash in his first year, and he wants to be competitive. But they don't think he's, like, going to go all out. I mean, think about what Vegas has done since they've been in the league. They're always in the mix for the big-name players in free agency. They're always pulling off blockbuster trades. That's their MO, right? I think Ron Francis is going to be a lot quieter, a lot more calculated. And I think it's going to be a building process there for them to become a contender. So I don't see it happening as quickly. And I just don't see him being overly concerned with saying, okay, I need to get that star player to sell tickets. They're going to sell the tickets no matter what, man. That's a good hockey town. People don't realize that. It is a good hockey town. You got people from British Columbia right there. So they're going to do great selling tickets in the first year. And then as the allure wears off, maybe that's when we start to see him really make a splash with a big name guy.
I think you're right, Jimmy. As of right now, that's the way he's going to approach it, Francis. Although one trip to the conference finals or beyond this year in this first season could change all that.
Yeah.
That definitely, because that's what Vegas did. You know, Vegas didn't expect.
They got that taste and they couldn't. I need any more.
And they need more. They said right away, the first year of the Stanley Cup final. And every year they've had their hat in the ring for the best free agents out there and looking to make trades, looking to be aggressive and improve the team. He's saying that now, and again, that's a big if, that they have a big play, that they get to the playoffs and then have a deep run like Vegas did in their first season. But if that does happen, it's amazing how quickly plans can change, and it'll be interesting to see if Seattle follows suit the way Vegas did, and if they have that unexpected, incredible amount of success in year one that the Golden Knights did. But all of that is a big if, and all of that we'll have to wait and see in due time. Great stuff, a fun show. We hope you enjoyed it. We wanted to put together a special expansion draft focused show of the Ice Guys here presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Thanks to Alex B. Smith and Jimmy Murphy for joining me. Before we wrap up, a reminder, download the DraftKings app, sign up for an account, use the promo code THPN. Football season is right around the corner. NFL, college football. Don't sleep on my beloved CFL either. All of it right around the corner. Hockey will be back in October. Great time to sign up for DraftKings. Download the app. When you do, you'll get bet boosts, deposit bonuses, weekly specials, and weekly incentives. So download the DraftKings app, sign up for an account, use the promo code THPN. That'll wrap up this edition of the Ice Guys. For Alex B. Smith and Jimmy Murphy, I'm Ian Cameron. We will be back with a free agency recap show first week of August. So make sure you join us for that, and we will recap all the major signings in free agency season right here on the Ice Guys for another special edition. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. A reminder, the Ice Guys podcast. If you can't watch the Ice Guys on YouTube, you can download the podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and iHeart. So download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form. For Alex B. Smith and Jimmy Murphy, I'm Ian Cameron. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Ice Guys presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.